Blog Talk Radio.
Didn't do a lot this weekend. Wonder what you did. If you want to share,
of what you've done. Give me a call on our guest line at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. Watched some really good football yesterday. Had both games going in two different rooms. I had the Kansas City, I believe it was Kansas City and Redskins. So I had the Washington game on, and I had the Baltimore game on. I couldn't find the Eagles. You know, I was down in Maryland, not in Brooklyn. And perhaps that's it, because they typically tend to blackout games if you're not in that particular market. So I was in the greater Washington, Baltimore metropolitan region, which encompasses both cities, and concomitantly those markets. So I was able to get both games, and they were both good, excellent. Baltimore did really good. The problem I have with Baltimore, this is not a sports show, but I just have to share it because the Ravens are one of my favorite teams, if not my favorite team. Well, Philly would have that spot. Always. I've liked the Philadelphia Eagles since I was a kid. The thing with Baltimore is they have to remain consistent. That's one thing they've had trouble doing. You know, because, you know, a large part of the problem is, and they're carrying three quarterbacks now. As a matter of fact, they had Jackson in as a receiver, I guess, to help him to understand his position as quarterback better. I think it's a brilliant move for the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator and the coach to do that. But, you know, Harbaugh and Flacco got to show something this year, you know, because they, you know, last three or four seasons, man, they, you know, just barely made it to the postseason. So, you know, they looked good yesterday, but like I said, they got to remain consistent. On to other things. The Kavanaugh nomination of these old white men are trying to ramrod through the Congress, namely the Senate. Looks like it's on life support. Another accuser has come out and said that, you know, Kavanaugh assaulted her in Yale, which would be, you know, while he was at Yale, which I think, you know, it's more problematic for him simply because it's not a 35-year-old allegation. I mean, that you know, is still 20-something-year-old allegation, but you know, he still has some issues there, man. I mean, he has some really, really serious problems, and you know, I was going back and forth on social media about this with someone on one of the posts that I subscribe to, and I said, what's going to happen with Kavanaugh is he is going to get a vote, but he's going to lose. He's not going to be nominated by the slim of margins. I think maybe only one vote is going to take him down, but he will not be nominated to the Supreme Court. So that's how this is going to play out, because these relics, alabaster relics of the Civil War, are determined to turn back the clock on progressive agenda that we've had in this country for the last, I would say, you know, 8 years, you know, during the Obama administration. Now, I didn't agree with everything that President Obama did, but, you know, and but he was. He wasn't always progressive either, but you know, he was competent, studious, you know, deliberate to a fault, and I believe that he had the country's best interests at heart. Unlike this guy, only has himself, his and his, not even his family. I mean, because he threw his son under the bus already. With respect to the Russian allegation, but there, you know, in a few weeks, you know, And I'm going to actually be at the poll because I'm an election judge, you know, what they used to call poll workers. So they gave us a fancier title. So we're election judges now, no longer poll workers. And I will be at the polls that day, you know, because I am extraordinarily interested in seeing what the turn, you know, just anecdotally. I mean, obviously, I can't tell anything from working a single poll. And so I'm really anxious to get there. But, you know, from all indications, you know, I'm not a pollster, and I don't really follow polls that much. But it looks like it's going to be a landslide for the Democrats, and it's a possibility. You know, they're saying that. The senator from, I believe it's, is it Connecticut? I don't want to say something that's not true. But I just had this on the tip of my tongue doing the research for the show. They were saying that they had one Democratic senator that was in trouble. But it might be more. I mean, you know, because the senators, you know, it's only two senators per state. So it's not like 400... and 85 representatives, you know, which is not really enough. So the point I'm trying to make is that senators elected statewide, whereas representatives are elected from a specific district. So it's a lot more difficult for senators to get elected because they basically have to appeal to an entire state. So I don't want to say anything, you know, I don't want, because it is a lot of Democrats, blue dog Democrats in red states, that may or may not do so well. I'm not really sure, you know, but it looks like we're going to sweep the House, and I pray that we do. You know, it happened in New York, and I was so happy. There are some Dinos, Democrats in name only, that were in the legislature for years, and they caucused with the Republicans. And so what they did was obstructed a progressive agenda from getting passed in New York State, criminal justice reform. And New York has always been on the forefront of criminal justice reform. So we swept those people out, and I'm hoping that we see the same thing during this this upcoming, you know, nationwide or federal election. I'm really, you know, hopeful of that, because I think that if we could sweep them at the representative level and at least regain the House, man, that would help a tremendous amount in stopping gerrymandering and, you know, a lot of, you know, we've put the kibosh on a lot of the retrogressive policies that have come out of this administration. So that's what we're hoping for, and it looks like it's going to happen. And, you know, Freud said years ago that we have limited psychic energy, so I've been trying to marshal mine very carefully, cautiously, and not take on more than I can chew, literally or figuratively speaking. That being said, I do want to get more involved, and there are a couple of I don't know if you want to call them PACs or political action committees that I find of interest. I've always been a member of the Work and Families Party. I've always liked them, and we caucus with the Democrats. But there are a couple other progressive political action committees that I want to get involved with. So I'm looking, you know, but I'm also looking at the time factor as well, because I'm saying to myself, yeah. You know, I'm doing a lot, I'm involved in a lot, but it's primarily for me and my family beyond business. And I'm not doing the piece that I like to do, which is more volunteerism, you know, especially on the political front, because there were some issues that, that tremendously interest me, you know, criminal justice reform, especially the collateral consequences of criminal conviction history, which really hurts a lot of persons who transgressions or an extensive criminal record. There's some study. As a matter of fact, I had an interview at Department of Justice many, many years ago when a sequester went into effect during the Obama administration. And that was one of the questions that arose during my interview, what my knowledge was of that particular piece of criminal justice reform. And, you know, I talked about Bloomstein and Nakamura, who is right at the University of Maryland, as a matter of fact. I believe he's still in the Criminal Justice Department. And they've done some stunning work on the collateral consequences of a criminal history record, some that has been published in the New York Times, other in peer-reviewed, you know, scholastic journals, so that might not be as accessible to most people. And what they found is that, you know, basically the mathematical models, and they said that, hey, man, you know, people age out of criminal behavior. And, you know, at a certain point, you know, a person has no more chance of engaging in criminality at a certain point. And they, you know, with specific, precise math, the mathematical models, they graph, you know, when the person would literally age out of the possibility of engaging in it. And so, you know, the point that we're trying to make is that we don't feel... And I've written about this extensively on my blog, and, you know, I don't do so much on social media, but, you know, certainly on my blog is one of my pet issues that, you know, a person should be, unless you were sentenced to life, you should not be doing life on an installment plan by having a criminal history follow you around like an anvil. Around your neck for the remainder of your life. So that is one of the issues. The other issue I definitely wanted to get involved with was educational reform. I think the student loan industry, and they got this kook in there, DeVos. I mean, I just the corruption is just incredible to me, man. I mean, these people. I mean, it's just stunning the level of corruption in this government. I mean, she has direct ties to the loan servicing industry. As a matter of fact, the ombudsman resigned as a direct consequence of her rollback with some of the protections for student at state of for-profit schools. You know, they've gone under for whatever reason. And what's happened was, those students were still on the hook for those. It's incredible. If you look at it from a purely ethical perspective, it's just outrageous. I mean, think about it. It's just like in Flint, Michigan, where people are paying for drinking water that is non-potable. I mean, literally, they're paying for, you know, water that under any other, it's just incredible that no one, where is the American Civil Liberties, where is the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, you know, these entities, you always see Cheryl Eiffel and these people on television, you know, mugging it up, and they do nothing, they take no, what they call impact litigation. And you rarely see them engaging in the types of impact litigation you would expect from an organization whose mission, raison d'etre, is to take up issues like this. So you have an entire community that's being poisoned and no one is saying anything. And the reason I shifted to that is because it's unmitigated corruption. And I just, you know, I know that... this guy in office, 45, is a unilateral wet dream for the Republican Party. I understand why he's in office. We all do. One does not have to be a political scientist to understand. However, the Congress has abdicated its oversight role of checks and balances, and as a consequence, you know, you have people in charge of various agencies that are basically saboteurs. You have a guy in commerce that, by all objective measures, has perjured himself. Sessions has over at Justice as well. So, you know, we have a lot of problems with this administration beyond, you know, the guy sitting at 1300 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, it's the entire administration. It's overrun with unethical billionaire types who want to take us back to post-Reconstruction and basically impose their will on a Browning America. We ain't going back, and that's the bottom line. We've said that a number of times, and we will continue to say it. And I think that what's going to happen is we're going to say it at the poll. Now, the other problem I have, and those that listen to the show on a regular basis, if you want to join me, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Let's take a break real quick. We'll come back on the other side of the break and just share my thoughts with you.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurbs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back, Mark and Pulpit International, New York. This is yours truly, Dennis Shipman. 10:52, Monday, September 24th, 2018. 63 degrees and overcast here in Brooklyn, New York. And had a great weekend, and I was talking on the other side of the break about unmitigated corruption that we see evident in this administration. It's going to come to a screeching halt and a grinding stop in a few short weeks, because we're poised to take over the House. The Senate is a much more, you know, we have a bicameral Congress or legislature. I'm not a political scientist, so forgive me if I, you know, mess up the correct characterization of our political structure. But the Senate is a more, how would I say, more important. I mean, I think they are of equal importance, but I think the Senate is a much more important. I think senators wield a greater degree of gravitas and importance, you know, because there's only 100 of them. And, you know, I would really like at some point, you know, in the very near future, you know, because we're going to win back the presidency, there's no doubt about it. But I really, you know, and I believe this should be balanced, but I believe that the Republicans in this particular case have went too far. I honestly believe they have. I mean, they have done things that, you know, they claim that the Democrats, you know, false equivalencies. Well, the Democrats did this, so we're going to do that. But the other thing I wanted to say on the other side of the break, I was just thinking about it again, and it really, it saddens me so much. And, you know, but I was listening to WTOP on my way down this weekend, which is the local powerhouse. I had a chance to get a job there, as a matter of fact, as an announcer or whatever, I forget which one. But you know, for the amount of $11-$12 an hour, it's like, yeah, I'm not interested in that. So at any rate, there was a guy that got on and, you know, self-identified as black and said that he had voted for some Democratic administrations before eventually settling on Trump. And, you know, that was bad enough. I knew what was coming after, but I was hoping that it wasn't. But then he started, you know, with, I'm a black guy, and I'm really afraid of the Democrats, and at what point do we begin to lose tolerance for, you know, for disrespect for or not having any regard, positive regard, self-esteem, or, you know, I could just go on and on and on and on. But, I mean, here we have in the White House a man who is a bona fide racist. I mean, there's no ambiguity. You know, this is the thing. Let me say this to my listening audience here. We know Trump here in New York. We have watched the man for 30, 40 years, depending on how old you are. He cannot think about this for a second. I mean, objectively, forget about everything else. The man cannot even come back to New York City. And I don't believe he will return after he is thrown out of office or is imprisoned, whatever. And here you have these people all out throughout the country, you know, typically black males. Black women tried to save us. You know, I gained a renewed respect for my sisters, man, because if you look at the polling, and again, I'm not a pollster, but if you look at the polling, man, black women voted overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. And I don't know for the life of me, man. I mean, I sit in these barbershops, and it's just stunning to hear these guys, man, talking about either they don't vote or they, you know, they're voting for this clown in the White House, and he's done everything that he said. He hasn't done anything, and what he has done hasn't benefited our communities. Rolling back these regulations ad hoc, as he's done, is going to have enormous ramifications in the future. The policies were in place to protect the environment. I think they're important, and they needed to remain in place. Pulling us out of all these treaty obligations, was reckless. It was, the botch raid in Yemen. Where he was trying to duplicate Obama's success in getting bin Laden, and I can go on and on and on. Trying to take credit for an economy that has responded in large measure to the rollbacks, but it's a two-edged sword, because the guy can't get out of his own way to let the economy continue to expand. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be a contraction, because what's going to happen is the tax cuts that went into going to need to be paid for, and so that's going to be a boogeyman that's going to come back to bite us. So we're going to stay tuned, and we're going to stay on top of this topic, especially as we rapidly approach Election Day, and we hope that you stay tuned here with Marketing Pulpit International and the rest of our hosts Monday through Saturday, and one terrestrial show, WOLAM, which is 1450, where information is power. So you might want to tune into that too on Fridays, Robert Gatewood. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week.
It's no coincidence.